to the book of Matthew chapter 16 and stand with me tonight. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and just reading a few verses in this chapter, beginning with 21 down through verse number 25. This is what I sense the Lord would want us to share in this closing youth revival service. Thank you so much for coming. Matthew 16, verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, Be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not be unto Thee. But He turned and He said unto Peter, Get thee behind Me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto Me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, and I want you to catch this tonight. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer again tonight. Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege we've had to be in Shoals, Indiana these days. It's been a wonderful time together. We thank You for victories that have been won. We thank You for the sense of Your presence. We thank You, O God, for the way You've met with us throughout these days. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us in this closing service, Lord. Would You challenge these young people and older ones alike, O God. Help us each to be willing to pledge our allegiance to the cause of Jesus Christ, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow You. Lord, we thank You for all that's been accomplished. Now give us unction for preaching, anointing from heaven. We need Your touch and help tonight. And Father, for what's accomplished, we'll give You the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. These are the men who possessed an unwavering courage to stand and fight against tyranny in an ageless struggle for freedom. These are the men who fought overwhelming odds and found a place in history. These are the men who decided to stand and die for what they believed. These men are the men of the Alamo. It was on March 5th, 1836, that Colonel Travis assembled his men in a plaza of the Alamo, and he tells them of the no hope they had for help. Colonel Travis draws a line on the ground with sword to be crossed by all who will stand and fight for the cause of freedom, the Alamo. All crossed the line but one. March 6, 1836. Day 13 of the siege of the Alamo. At 1 a.m., the Mexican troops moved toward positions. And at 5 a.m., General Santa Anna gives the signal and the Mexican bugler sounds the noise. And the columns of the Mexican army advance on the Alamo. The Texans repulsed twice the invaders with desperate, intense fighting. And the battle raged throughout the Alamo. But at 6:30, 1.5 hours later, the last shot was sounded. And the Alamo had fallen. 189 heroes offered their life to ensure the freedom of Texas, to stand and fight for what they believed in. Simply speaking, ladies and gentlemen, the 189 men of the Alamo had pledged their allegiance for the cause of Texas. We heard a beautiful song sung Friday night. A song that was sung that says, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. If you go to school, you'll hear people recite pledges of allegiance. For some, it's the pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Christian schools go on to make pledges to the Christian flag. And they pledge that allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior crucified and risen and coming again with life and liberty for all who believe. And then there's that pledge to the Bible, God's holy word, to make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, to hide its words in our heart that we might not sin against God. No doubt many of us have made these pledges of allegiance. We sing songs of pledging our allegiance. We make these statements, but do we really understand what we're saying tonight? Do we really understand what we're saying when we say, I pledge allegiance? I believe many times we make these pledges of allegiance with no concept in our head and no conviction in our heart. It's lip service. Pledging allegiance. But as I begin to think of allegiance, three words come to mind to describe allegiance. I'd like to give them for you tonight. Allegiance, I believe, first of all, means devotion. Allegiance means devotion. Mr. Webster tells us that devotion, as it relates to allegiance, stresses zeal and service, amounting to self-dedication. Devotion, as it relates to allegiance, stresses zeal and service, amounting to self-dedication. I begin to think of the Word of God, and I thought, who in the Word of God best describes allegiance as it relates to devotion? And my mind thought of the Old Testament individual named Abraham. And you can see devotion through the eyes of Abraham. As Abraham served God and had pledged his allegiance, his true devotion caused him to live a life of separation. Abraham's allegiance caused him to live a life of separation. Separation from his family, his friends, his father's house, his country. And one thing I've learned, and that is if you've truly pledged your allegiance to Jesus Christ, and you're truly devoted to Him, it will also cause you to live a life of separation. It may mean separation from your family, from your friends, from the people that you care about, your own country, your own kindred, to follow that which God wants you to truly do. It's serious business to pledge your allegiance. That means devotion. True devotion will cause you to live a life of separation. Not only a life of separation, but I noticed that devotion also caused Abraham to live a life of sacrifice. Sacrifice. You see, Abraham had denied himself the very thing that God had promised him, Isaac. God says to Abraham, take that son Isaac and sacrifice him there on Mount Moriah. Abraham had truly pledged his allegiance. And his devotion showed through as he took that promised son, Isaac. They made their way to the top of Mount Moriah. I can't imagine what that must have really, really been like. To physically go through the act, all but truly putting the dagger in him. To go through it all. But Abraham had really pledged his allegiance. It wasn't just lip service, my friend. It was real devotion. Caused him to live a life of sacrifice. I believe with all my heart that true devotion will cause you to live a life of sacrifice. That you give God the things that are the absolute dearest to you. For some of you, it may be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It may be a job. It may be your own ambitions and dreams. It may be a car or a truck. I don't know what it might be. But God says, if you're truly pledging your allegiance, you've got to sacrifice that thing which is dearest to you and give it to me. Have you truly pledged your allegiance? Or is it lip service? It's one thing to testify that I'm going God's way or to sing a song about pledging allegiance to the Lamb. But it's another thing to really mean it deep, deep down. I can not only see devotion through the eyes of Abraham, but in our own American history, I look back of just 6 years ago this past Tuesday and I see devotion through the eyes of Todd Beamer. Todd Beamer, you remember Todd Beamer? Flight 93, Shanksville, Pennsylvania. A few weeks ago, I was in the state of New Jersey and stayed in the home of a family whose daughter and Todd Beamer's wife, who wrote the book Let's Roll, are best of friends and travel all around the country and world together, telling the story. Todd Beamer had pledged his devotion. He knew what was about to take place. But he still willingly gave his life to try to spare America any further damage. Simply speaking, he had pledged his allegiance to his country and to his cause. Have you pledged your allegiance? Really, truly, honestly? Allegiance means devotion. It not only means devotion, but another word that describes allegiance, I believe, is loyalty. Loyalty. I went to Webster's Dictionary, didn't like what I found. Didn't say it the way I felt it in my heart. And I began to ask the Lord, tell me, give me something, Lord, that I can share with people. And this is what God gave me. This is what loyalty means as it relates to allegiance. Loyalty implies a faithfulness that's steadfast in the face of any temptation to renounce, desert, or betray. Loyalty implies a faithfulness that's steadfast in the face of any temptation to renounce, desert, or betray. Let me illustrate. A minister one day parked his car in a no parking zone in a large city because he was short of time and he couldn't find a space with a meter. So he put a note on the windshield wiper that read this, I've circled the block 10 times, and if I don't park here, I'll miss my appointment. And then in quotes, forgive us of our trespasses. He returned from his appointment and he found a citation from a police officer along with this note under that same windshield wiper. I've circled this block for 10 years and if I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. And then in quotes, lead us not into temptation. I thought that's pretty good. What was happening? That police officer was loyal to the law. See, he had pledged his allegiance. And that means loyalty. In other words, he was steadfast in the face of any temptation to renounce, desert, or betray. Tragically, young people, we're living in a day and age when it seems like loyalty is a thing of the past. Too many people are for sale. Too many people are for sale. They can be bought off. They have a price tag. But Brother Ziegler, God's looking for some young people at Shoals, Indiana, that don't have a price tag. Young people that are not for sale. Some young people that will take their stand and truly pledge their allegiance, their loyalty, if you please. True loyalty doesn't have a price tag attached. As I look at Scripture, I can't help but think of Queen Esther. Think of Queen Esther and her loyalty to her own people. As she was about to face no doubt certain death because the king hadn't summoned for her. But knowing she was putting her life on the line, she was loyal to her people. And you know the story as the golden scepter was held out and Haman was hanged in his own gallows. Esther was loyal. I think of the story of Naboth and his vineyard. And in the midst of that wicked queen and king, wanting to obtain that vineyard. But Naboth said, that vineyard's not for sale. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that aren't for sale. There's some things I believe truly tonight. I've pledged my allegiance to the cause of Jesus Christ, and there are some things that are not for sale. This is almost in 1 month a 37-year-old man, father and husband, working in the work of God in our movement, yet wasn't raised this way. It's been amazing how I've had to take my stand for some things in our movement. And I don't have that much influence. But I've been put in positions and places where I've had to take my stand and I've had to witness and watch people who had a for sale sign on their life. I'm here to tell you that Brother Durkee's not for sale in some areas. Some things that I'm not for sale in. Some of those things comes to modesty. I'm not for sale. Modesty is not for sale in my life. And neither should it be in your life. Ladies wear dresses, not pants. Men wear pants. They have short hair. Women have long hair that's uncut. That's not for sale. It's the Word of God. It troubles me when we're living in a culture, in our own movement, in our own holiness churches, where those items are up for sale. Television in the home is not for sale. Television on a computer is not for sale. Hollywood's not coming in my home. It's not for sale. Some things are not for sale. And young people, you're going to have to truly pledge your allegiance. And you're going to come head on into some areas in your life, and you're going to have a decision made already in your heart and your life. I'm not for sale. I've pledged my allegiance to the cause of Christ. This is the way I'm going. It means loyalty. That's being steadfast in the face of any temptation to renounce, desert, or betray. Allegiance. It means loyalty. It means loyalty. Not only does it mean loyalty, and not only does it mean devotion, but thirdly and lastly this evening, I want you to notice that allegiance also means commitment. It means commitment. Again, I didn't like what Webster had to say, and the Lord gave me this. Commitment is standing by something or someone and doing what's right, even if it's not comfortable nor convenient. That's commitment. It's standing by something or someone and doing what's right, even if it's not comfortable nor convenient. It may even mean your life to truly show commitment, allegiance. One day the hen and the pig walked by the local church. Little hen and the little pig walking together on the sidewalk read the advertised sermon topic on the bulletin board. What can we do to help the poor? Immediately, the little hen, as all little hens do, she piped right up. And she suggested, well, let's feed the poor bacon and eggs for breakfast. The pig thought for a moment. He looked at that sign and he looked at that hen and he said, hey, wait a minute. There's just one problem with feeding bacon and eggs to the poor. For you, hen, it's just a matter of some contributions. A few eggs here and there. But if we're going to feed bacon and eggs to the poor, it means my life. Total commitment. Tragically, we're living in a day and age when far too many people think they can just contribute to the cause of Christ. Just their contributions is enough. But young people, don't fall into that trap. Because we don't impress God with our contributions. We don't. God's not looking for contributed Christians. He's looking for committed Christians. People who are truly committed, willing to give their life for what they believe in, the cause of Christ. It's an act of our will. On purpose, by choice, we choose to do what's right. And the greatest example in Scripture that I can find when it comes to this matter of commitment facing death is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their story of deliverance is wonderful. But that's not the deep message of that story. It's not the fact that they were delivered, but it's the fact that three young men were willing to die for what they believed in. They had committed. They had pledged their allegiance. How about you? Are you truly committed? Have you truly pledged your allegiance, willing to give your life for the great cause? Oh, that God would give us young people, Brother Ziegler. Brother Sister Albright, God would give us some young people that are truly committed to the cause of Jesus Christ. The story is told of when James Calvert went out as a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. And the captain of the ship that had carried him there sought to turn him back by saying, "You will lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages." But James Calvert's reply well demonstrates the cost of commitment when he said, "We died before we came here. We died before we came here." They truly pledged their allegiance, commitment. It was Theodore Roosevelt who said, "No man is worth his salt who is not ready at all times to risk his well-being, his body, his life in a great cause." Friends, the cause tonight is Jesus Christ. Have you truly pledged your allegiance? It means devotion. It's a passion that stresses zeal and service amounting to self-dedication. It means loyalty. It's a faithfulness that's steadfast in the face of any temptation to renounce, desert, or betray. And it means commitment. It's standing by something or someone and doing what's right, even if it's not comfortable nor convenient. The story is told of a Korean worship service. The story is told as these underground Christians had met together in this Korean worship service, but they were disrupted as a group of men burst in with guns and machetes. They begin to take all the people hostage and begin to communicate to them that they were going to kill them if they did not renounce their faith and their love for Christ. Taking the picture of Christ off the wall, they placed it on the floor at the doorway that led outside. And they told them that the way they could live would be to spit upon Christ and they could walk out a free person. The one in charge of the service was first. He made his approach to that picture of Christ on the floor, spat upon the portrait of Christ, and walked out a free man. Four or five other deacons followed suit and did the same thing. It was lip service. It wasn't here. A teenage girl was next. With certain death raining upon her if she would not spit upon Christ. The story has it that she dropped to her knees with tears streaming down her cheek. She began to take her own hair and wipe up the spittle on the portrait of Christ, knowing it meant certain death. And that fervency of allegiance, devotion, loyalty, commitment so gripped the hearts of those men with guns and knives, they've never seen such true allegiance, that they went out and they executed those six who were yellow-spined, and let all the others go free because one young lady had truly pledged her allegiance. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're living in a day and age when a line has truly been drawn in the sand. We've got to make a decision. It's more than coming to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or on Wednesday night that pacifies our spirit. But it's truly meaning business with God, that I'm going this way if no one else goes. And tonight, before you leave this room, you'll have to make a public decision if you've truly pledged your allegiance. I want our sister to come to the piano, if she would. And I believe it's 179. Unless you can play the song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. Play 179. I have that selected.